Coming up, the Crinos are back, baby. Get ready for it. It's happening. So from the Bob Varley studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Universal Edition of The Diz Unplugged. This is episode 148 of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. The Diz Unplugged Universal Edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect universal vacation. Please visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Diz Unplugged Universal Edition. I am your host, Craig Williams, and today I am joined alongside by my co-host and the other half of Crino, Rhino,
yes.
As in Rhino Clavin. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome. Wow, we have a very exciting episode for you here. I've got this blue cup sitting beside me. It's empty.
Filled with booze.
I'll just throw that away there. Yeah, that's right. It was filled with booze in terms of scary booze because...
I'm here for the booze?
Yeah. I'm embarrassed enough to say that my wife does have a t-shirt. I think she does. I think she has that one. That I'm just here for the booze. I know she has one that says, if you haunt it, got it. If you got it, haunt it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
They're all terrible. So bad. But we are back with another edition of the Crinos. And for those of you who have not been with us for a long time, let's explain right away what the Crinos are. Well, the Crinos are a fake awards thing that we made up one day a couple years back now, about 2 years back, when I don't remember who was with us on our team at the time, but someone didn't show up, and it ended up being just Rhino and I here, and we had to make something up at the last second, so we decided to make our fake award show that was dubbed the Crinos, and that's right, we are bringing back the Crinos because we are currently preparing for a trip out west, and so we needed a little
for gold.
For gold, yes, and not anything in particular, mostly just for gold. We needed to have something to just kind of fill in the gaps, so it's not like we're not trying with this one, it's just we are putting in as little effort as possible. It's going to be a fun one, and what are we doing for this Crino Awards? Well, we need to decide which year of Halloween Horror Nights was better, Halloween Horror Nights 26 or Halloween Horror Nights 27. So that's what's going head-to-head in this edition of the Crinos. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking there's still 3 more weeks left in the event. There's still time for it to change, adapt. Some things are going to get better than others, and that is very, very possible. But unfortunately for us, we need to do this now, and so that's why we are doing it right now, today, and I think at this point in time, you and I basically have our minds made up on a lot of the houses, so we've been able to go quite frequently with our frequent fear passes, so I'm confident in how I would put a house up against a house from a previous year, but I don't want to go like full fledged into this because we do have one news item, which is very rare for us because I feel like there's been no news lately. But this news is some big news. I know it's big news that Rhino is excited about.
I love this news. I was trying to think of something clever to say without giving it away, but I couldn't because I'm just a muggle.
You know what? That's fine. You don't have to. You don't have to give it away at all. You don't have to say anything. I will do all the talking with it. I don't know why I just put in a southern drawl there.
I don't know, Fran. What do you reckon? I just became Cameron from Modern Family.
Fantastic. Okay, so I'm done. I'm not going to try to like beat this up anymore. I'm just going to get right to it. We now have our celebrities, the first batch of celebrities for a celebration of Harry Potter 2018. And so, yeah, it is going to be made up of this year two fan favorites from years past. That would be James and Oliver Phelps,
mm-hmm.
who, of course, you may better know as the Weasley twins.
Weasley twins.
Yeah. Yes. And then our final celebrity that will be appearing at mm-hmm. a celebration of Harry Potter 2018 is Stanislav, also better known as Victor Crumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so all you Durmstrang fans out there,
get ready to nibble on that crumb.
Okay. Yeah, no, you should be very excited by that announcement. So that will be, and let me try to say this actually correctly, Stanislav Janevsky. It will be his first year coming to a celebration of Harry Potter, which that's exciting. I'm glad that they're bringing in faces that haven't been there before, so that way we get some stories that haven't been told yet. I mean, for this one, though, we only really have one movie worth of stories that will come from him, but maybe it'll be exciting.
I thought he was in one of the other, in one of the last two, but his scene got cut.
Oh.
He's in the book
in
the later ones.
But, yeah, no. So
and maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I don't think any scenes made it in towards the end.
Yeah. He's not in the later movies, but I thought there was like the actor was going to be in it and something. I don't know what I'm talking about. Leave me alone.
But yeah, so that's our first three celebrities announced for it. The event happens January 26th through the 28th of 2018, and yep, more details will come out when they are available, but that is that news. You know, I'm still holding out for Fantastic Beasts, as we talked about when we discussed the announcement dates for Celebration of Harry Potter. Really would like to see something with Fantastic Beasts, maybe one day, but it's one new person's better than nothing. That's about all I can say from that. There you go.
I agree. I mean, I'd like to see some of the new people too, but we'll see. They're probably busy filming the new movie because I think it started filming.
Yeah, I mean that's actually a good point.
Or it's about to start filming or something because it's coming out next year or so.
Yeah, I can give them a lot of credit for that because.
What if we get a trailer?
That would be awesome. That would be very much appreciated instead of getting the latest announcement on what's happening at the Warner Brothers Studio Tour London.
I know.
I don't need any of that anymore.
I mean, it helped me that year, but it didn't, like, who's ever going?
Good.
People spent all their money on getting to the Harry Potter celebration. Why do they need to go spend their money? Go somewhere else now.
You know, to be fair, of all the people we met last week, the most bizarre thing happened when, literally within the span of about 5 minutes, we saw people we already met at one point in time over at Disney from Ireland, saw them at Universal, and then seconds after they left, we met another couple that was from Scotland, and then that was followed by another couple from Liverpool. So we almost completely got the United Kingdom plus Ireland, which that would have been really exciting. So
you needed a Northern Irelander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that being said.
I know that's not part of the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. We're talking about that hemisphere of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone from Wales.
Yeah. Welsh.
A Welshman.
A Welshman. Yes. No Welsh woman, just Welshman. Or something like that. Okay, wow. That is what we would call stretching it with the one news story that we have. I don't even think I finished my thought about meeting all those people. So clearly Universal's got an audience from overseas, so they're finding out about it, going back home, going to it. I guess that was better left unsaid. Let's do it. Let's start this year's Crinos. Mm-hmm. HHN edition. Cue the music. Awkward.
Ooh.
Awkward silence now. We have no music for this one. But let's set up the ground rules for what's going to happen here. As I decided right before we started to record this, this is going to be a bit awkward in the setup, in that we are going to put the houses and the scare zones up against each other based on their actual location. So for the most part, all of the houses are in the exact same places as they were with 26. Just some of the entrances have changed based on construction and whatnot happening at Universal right now. So it's also not going to be an even matchup. There are cases where it'll be an intellectual property going up against one of Universal's original creations based on the location of that house. And based on the fact that for Halloween Horror Nights 26, they had six intellectual property houses and only three originals. So one was eventually going to have to go up. So that's why I made that decision to do that. Scare Zones, nice and easy. Shows, literally nice and easy. And that's where we'll go from there. So to get things kicked off right away, we are going to start off with perhaps the biggest one of them all. And no, I'm not talking about a house, a scare zone, or a show. I'm talking about the festival theme. Blah. The event theme. There we go. So Halloween Horror Nights 26, Rhino, what was the theme slash the icon of that year?
Well, I don't remember the title of the theme, but it was Chance.
Yeah, she was there. The icon. So
it's like Chance's Revenge or something like that. Just Chance.
No, just Chance. You're good there. Overthinking it.
I don't like Chance. That's my thing. But I do think the theme was better than Festival of the Deadliest. I think it came across a little more. You know, Chance and Jack, they're like fanfare. I like Jack, but it's just like they've become like those Halloween Horror Nights legends. So I don't know. I like one that kind of celebrates the history, I feel like, a little bit, and this new one just feels like somebody just slapped a title on it and then moved on.
Yeah, it's a tough one. So, as I said, HHN26 was Chance as the icon. This year's event for 27, we have Festival of the Deadliest as the theme of this year, at least in my book. I'm voting for last year's. Theme was a better one with Chance. Yeah. I will say there were downsides to that, and that is because Chance was the icon, unfortunately, they wanted to promote her a little bit more thoroughly, and we got a really terrible house out of it, as well as a really terrible scare zone. So even though I like Chance as a theme because I enjoy Chance, again, like you kind of said there, I like the history, and going that route with the event, using their past icons and pulling them up in a bigger way. I enjoy it for that reason. But yeah, not a lot of great came with her being the icon and the theme. But the same exact thing could be said this year. It's such a loose theme overall that I feel like even though Chance didn't bring a lot of good, better to have her than the Festival of the Deadliest and not making much sense. So
the Festival of the Deadliest just makes me feel sleazy too. That area.
No. Good.
I don't know if we're talking about that, but I'll wait.
No, we're not talking about that yet, but we will get there. So I guess that means for the first one, the award goes to
26.
It's been
26.
The Chance wins over Festival of the Deadliest in the first award. Of course, Chance is not here to accept her award. Too bad. So now let's move right into our next thing that we will go up, and that is our first house award. So this house, this is like the big award. This is like voting for finding out the results for best movie of the year is the first award given. For Halloween Horror Nights 26, we had American Horror Story Volume 1. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now for Halloween Horror Nights 27, we have American Horror Story Volume 2. Yeah, so AHS Volume 1, that took us through Season 1's Murder House, Season 4 Freak Show, and Season 5 Hotel. And that was pretty iconic. I mean, Murder House is easily still the best season of the show overall, and had just so many iconic moments throughout. Freak Show brought a lot of spice, a lot of interesting visuals, because it was just visually a bleak but interesting season. And then Hotel, I feel like, while maybe not a lot of people's favorite, it had a lot of the iconic characters that you were hoping for in that section.
Yeah, just that section, though. That was my issue with the house last year.
Yeah. And now let's look at this year's Volume 2, where we go through season 2's Asylum, which that's where you're getting all the iconic characters, basically, as well as iconic moments from that season. Then you go into season three's Coven, which has a little bit, but is pretty much glossed over, and then followed by season six, Roanoke, which is essentially just completely washed over. They've added little bits and elements each week as it's gone on, but for the most part, it is very short going through Roanoke. It's a lot of repetition in terms of the visuals in there. And
just kind of in just the woods the whole time. Yeah. I wish they kind of just focused on one season this time around, knowing how what a success it was last year, that now they've kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit, and they're pretty much only going to have one season to deal with next year, unless they couple it with the, like, this is a preview of the season that starts when Halloween Horror Night starts. But
I mean, that's, I think that's part of why Hollywood decided to actually make the jump and just focus only on one season.
Wait, did they?
Yeah, they only did Roanoke this year.
Oh, man. So I'm so bummed out, because this is probably my favorite house, or one of my favorite house, top two this year. So the fact that it's a season I haven't seen is bumming me out, but it's fine.
Well, you got to watch it.
Well, I know what I'm going to vote for in these two houses.
Which one are you voting for?
This year's, because I think it improved the things I didn't like about last year. My issue last year was when I went through the house, there was no characters from the show present at all. And in this year, right away, it's like, okay, well, there's crying eyeless Sarah Paulson. There's crazy Myrtle with her machine, and then there's Tate in the attic, and then there's not Tate, I don't know what his name is. I'm getting there. The actor's name, oh my gosh, what is his name from X-Men and all the American Horror Stories? You know, the boy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm not sitting here trying to pretend I remember his name off the top of my head.
Evan Peters. There we go. That's right. I don't want anyone to be correcting me. But anyway, I like Coven, and Asylum was fine. It's probably one of my least favorite seasons, but I thought the portrayal of it in the house was pretty great. And so my vote easily goes to 27.
Well, this is a wash, because personally, I feel like 26 did American Horror Story better. I
think the hotel part of it for me was great last year, though. I do want to say that. I wasn't like, oh, the whole thing was whatever. But you said it. The hotel part was the best part.
Well, I think hotel was the best part last year, as well as Murder House. I didn't have the issues you had. A lot of it was timing, and I did American Horror Story a lot last year, so I did get to see all the characters multiple times and got the perfect timing going through there. It didn't always happen. American Horror Story last year really was, you would either have the perfect walkthrough or you would have a terrible one where you missed a lot of characters.
I loved I loved the one in Hollywood because I got to see a lot of all the characters. But the other thing is too, last year I didn't have a frequent fear pass, so I only went like twice.
Yeah. Last year's was better for me. I think the seasons were better, and it showed this year with how they just glossed over Roanoke and Coven for the most part. Visually, there wasn't a lot there to work with, and it really brings down the house, especially Roanoke. Terrible ending for a house, and every week I go and I repeat this, even though they're adding new things. They've added new like characters and dummies and stuff all throughout, but it just keeps falling for me. It's getting to the point where I don't really think I'll do it much more throughout the event. So that one is a wash. Can't do much about that. So let's move on to our first Scare Zone Award. Last year for Halloween Horror Nights 26, we had in the Production Central Scare Zone, we had A Chance in Hell, which, let's be honest, it was nothing more than really a glorified photo op that you could have with Chance standing up on a stage while some clowns in straitjackets were running around in the streets, not doing a lot of scaring. This year, however, in that first Scare Zone, we have Altars of Horror, and this is where we get to see some of the best characters from the intellectual property houses just out wandering the streets, trying their best to scare you, but also willing to take a photo here and there if you aren't nice enough. And of course, this year you'll see stuff like the bride from Insidious, thank you very much. Some of the characters from The Purge, The Shining Twins. You'll see some of the characters from Ash versus Evil Dead.
I haven't seen the old lady character since the first night.
Yep, it was literally just the first night, and she hasn't been back out since.
It's such a shame, because that's the one I want the picture of.
I know. I'm thinking maybe a lot of people just don't really know, or maybe they needed...
See, I hadn't watched the show yet, and I even remember thinking, like, oh, that's weird. That's funny weird. Like, good weird. I don't know. And so then they put Pablo and Kelly's, like, demon form out there.
Exactly. Yeah, I think maybe because the old lady is in the house, too, so maybe they needed the extra costuming and makeup for in there to switch out actors more often.
Yeah, because Pablo's book face isn't in the house, is it?
Yes, I have seen it in the house now.
Oh, you have? Yes. Okay, because I hadn't. Yeah,
so of those two, Chance in Hell versus Altars of Horror, which one would you choose, Rhino?
Altars of Horror, easily. I like it because it does offer the opportunity for, you know, we live in an Instagrammable age, and it gives people the opportunity to try and catch a photo with some of the scarier people without doing what they're not supposed to be doing in the house, which is taking videos or photos. And, you know, so like without them stopping and trying to take a photo with a person jumping out and kind of messing up the line. I think this improves on that. So it's like, oh, we'll just go over to that area and take a photo.
I absolutely agree 100%. If I had the choice to take both essentially glorified photo ops, if I had the choice between a photo with Chance or a photo with any one of those characters, I would rather have this one. And I think they do a lot better job of actually sneaking up and still scaring you. Minus the Shining Girls. They don't do that, but... Overall, a very good scare zone. That will take us into our next house, and that is a big one. Last year for HHN 26, we had The Exorcist, based on the hit film The Exorcist. Very spooky, very scary. So, of course, they expanded upon the story that you see in the movie, and you see it from the root of the possession with the demon. I forget the name of the demon in it. It's like Bazoogabug. It's very...
Balthazar?
No. It's something with a B. Something like that. And then, obviously, through to the possession, and you see all the different sides, and... Eventually, you jump out the not jump out the window, but you are thrown out of the window, forced into the depths of it's hell Pazuzu. Itself. That's it.
P-A-Z.
Yeah, Pazuzu. I remember now. And then this year for Halloween Horror Nights 27, we have The Shining, also based on a hit film. This one, Stanley Kubrick's The Shining, and this is kind of the walkthrough. All of the not so happy parts of the movie The Shining, seeing all the iconic moments that you could ask for. Jack Nicholson putting his head through the door, saying, "Here's
Tell me,
Johnny."
What happy parts of The Shining are there?
The beginning when they're driving the car through the mountains.
I feel like every scene in that is ruined because you're like, man, Jack Torrance is a jerk. Like,
no, this is before he's a real big jerk. So it's like 30 seconds of happiness right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've heard us rave already about The Shining house this year, but which one, Rhino, The Exorcist
it's tough
or The Shining?
Because The Exorcist was like my favorite house last year, or one of my favorite houses, if not my favorite. And I think Orlando's trumped Hollywood that year too, but I love The Shining because I mean, that's just a movie that I'm picking The Shining because I personally enjoy The Shining film. I like The Exorcist as well, but The Shining I watch every single year, and I think they did an excellent job with the house.
I'm actually going to have to agree with you on this one. While The Exorcist was one of my favorites last year, I thought it was remarkably done. If we're talking like if you were only doing the house once, which one would be better? I'd probably lean with The Exorcist versus The Shining. The Shining, I feel like a lot of the scare moments, again, like some of the houses, it's kind of hit or miss.
See, for both of these houses, I see where maybe you're going with is that for me, The Shining is like, what's it like to walk through the movie where sometimes the movie's not always like pop out scary. It's more just like, ugh, that's creepy. Whereas The Exorcist house was definitely designed for a lot of screams and pop out, you know, because it's the demon and the moaning and stuff. So if you are into getting like thrilled scared, then The Exorcist was probably the champ on that area. But for me, it's just about the Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, The Shining, it's just kind of like what you said there. It's a lot, it's very visual driven. Mm-hmm. It's a very accurate.
You're in this scene.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah. No. And I love that about it. And, you know, by the time you get to the end where you're going through the hedge maze, I feel like when you hit the one certain cast where they have it fully packed, you can't take a turn without getting another Jack Torrance popping out at you.
Yeah.
It gets very claustrophobic and freaky right at the end there. And while The Exorcist was great, if I had to choose one, it also kind of comes down to you. The Shining is the movie that I watch every single year. That's one of my horror movies. So I would have to vote for The Shining on that. And just like that, Halloween Horror Nights 27 takes it for the win. It's a tough one right now. It's two for HHN 27 and one for 26 and then a wash on one.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Let's move on to our next house. And last year, this one, the entrances are in a little bit of a different place, but same exact locations for the interior of where the mazes were. Last year for 26, we had Ghost Town, The Curse of Lightning Gulch, which was kind of a sequel house to a previous maze from years past, and it was just visually beautiful. I mean,
it was cool effects in there too, like the storm that you went through. Oh, yeah. So like the wind picked up and the rain was, you know.
Oh yeah, the big wide open expansive sets, almost to the point where some of them are like, how did they build something this big in such a tiny place? And then go from those big wide open western scenes down and move yourself into like a coal mine or just some sort of mine and just deal with that kind of claustrophobic feeling going through there. But overall, for an original house, just extremely beautiful. Then that's going up against one of my favorites this year, one of the top ones for me, The Fallen, which of course is a gothic look into going to hell, a medieval type of hell, very torturous, a lot of just dark and disturbing visual sets, a lot of demons, but also ending off with some cool stunts from some scare actors attached to bungee cords flying up above you. Just a lot of really cool elements in both of these houses, but there can only be one. And Rhino, which one would you choose?
So The Fallen is well done. It's definitely in the upper part of my list this year for sure. I'm going to go with Lightning Gulch, the Ghost Town one, solely because like I love a good Western, and like you said, I like the sets. I liked the effects were employed, and I still think about this house as being one of my favorites, because this year there isn't really a house where I'm like, oh, they did a really cool effect here. Like, there's a couple, but I felt like this house and another house last year did really cool use of special effects. And so, like I said, when you could step outside and it was like you were in what was almost a tornado was starting, that was really cool. So I'm giving it to that.
Another one that we're going to agree with. I also would vote in this case for Ghost Town, The Curse of Lightning Gulch. It was one of my favorite houses last year, and it was long. It was just filled with so many details throughout, little hidden touches, like the storyteller's picture was hanging in there. They had the photo of Doc and Marty in that house too. It's just so many little cool things throughout there. So that has to, as much as I love Fallen, and it's right now it may be like my number two favorite house this year. And so I love it a lot, but Ghost Town was a classic house for me. So that will take us to our next house that we are going to put up against each other. Last year for Halloween Horror Nights 26, this one was a doozy. It was The Walking Dead. That's right, The Walking Dead. And that was, of course, for the last year of Walking Dead, they did kind of a best of all the different Walking Dead houses they've done in the past, and a few new things thrown in here and there, but overall, still just as boring as any Walking Dead. And this year, in that same location, we had Why can't Dead Waters? Sorry. Mm. That just like was one of those things that's right in front of me. Just completely slipped my mind for a second. Dead Waters, the house sequel to the Scare Zone Bayou of Blood, going in through the broken down old steamship and eventually meeting up in the bayou with the Voodoo Queen herself, and lots of weird set designs in there, but overall use of colors is really brilliant throughout.
It does that cool tilted floor.
Yeah, which is great for inebriated people. Seen yeah. quite a few people almost.
And if
go
you're in a wheelchair,
down.
There's a special way for you to go through. You don't have to go through that area.
Exactly.
Just so you know, I was behind somebody with a wheelchair the other day.
Yeah, no, they do their best to make sure that doesn't get screwed up. So, for me, I'm going to vote first on this one. I'm going to give it up to HHN27 this year with Dead Waters because I hated The Walking Dead house. It was one of those things. Its time was up. And it came and it went, and I don't ever want to look back on it with fondness.
I think that I'm going to give it to The Walking Dead, but it's only because of all the Walking Dead things I had gone through, I thought maybe this, other than the first year they did it, was the best one because it went from the beginning of the series up to where the show was. So I liked that it was a little more familiar places, and then you kind of, but again, I have that same complaint. There wasn't a lot of the characters, specific characters in it.
Oh, there was never any specific characters in it.
And so it was all that's a part that really bugged me too, but I did like being like on the sets of where we used to be, but I feel like if I vote for it, then like there's the idea that maybe people want it back, which I do not at all. I don't even watch the show anymore. But
It's fine.
I enjoyed it because of the multi-setting scenario. Like, you start at the campsite, and then you went into the jail, and all that stuff. Whereas, like, Deadwaters, I do like that you go into the boat, but it is one small. It's got beautiful set design, but I'm gonna say The Walking Dead, just because I'm a whore for the IPs.
It's fine. It's fine. It's a wash. To wash on this one. I know the next one probably won't be, though, and that is our next award for Scare Zones. And this one, at Halloween Horror Nights 26, we had Survive or Die Apocalypse, which was just kind of, it felt like a thrown together at the last second
so
type of Scare Zone. Yeah, they were fighting over a machine that would clean the air because, of course, the apocalypse happened, and the only thing that was really necessary to survival was having clean breathing air.
And like this story, unless you had read this ahead of time, there is no, you'd walk through and be like, I have no clue what's going on here. The ultimate winner that ever went in this area was the Shady Acres,
Shady Brook.
Shady Brook, area. But like I didn't understand the Survive or Die Apocalypse. It never hit right with me. I was just people in weird suits, and no one was ever clear if, like, because they made it out to be like there were good guys, but there were also bad guys. And I was like, well, if it's a scary area, shouldn't everybody have been overtaken or something? I don't know.
Yeah, the factions just kind of bleeded in with each other. This year, of course, bled. Thank you. They bled into each other. This year, of course, we have the Purge in this New York scare zone, and it is celebrating all three Purge movies, plus bringing back some of the classic moments that you saw in the previous Purge scare zones that have been here. And I mean, there's no beating around the bush on it. This is a good area for the Purge. It works well.
Yeah, because it's this, I wish they had brought back the tumbling building effect that they had on the building the first year they did it over there. But like, or maybe not the first year, maybe it was the second time. But whatever. I don't know. But I'm tired of the Purge. Honestly, I think it is becoming like The Walking Dead with them, that they've used it so repeatedly at this point that I feel like we're right there where I'm like, I'm fine with it right now, but please don't do it again next year.
Yeah.
But there's like a TV show or something coming out, so I have a feeling it will be back.
Unless there's another movie, I don't think it's warranted enough to bring it back after this year. But I will say that the big difference between overusing Walking Dead and overusing The Purge is, with The Purge, at least, it's characters with weapons coming after you in the streets. With The Walking Dead, the issue goes back to the fact that zombies are freaking boring.
Well, and the thing was, too, is it's you can like update the costumes, like you said. There's a lady selling a person. They've got a car that comes and picks up people. They've got this lady beating a dead body. Like all these kind of things going on in The Walking Dead. It's zombies, and you're like, enough.
Yeah,
I've seen zombies. Enough. They're the same. They're not. It's not like they're the running at you zombies. Yep. So
no, it's just boring. You walk past them and they'll growl at you and that's it. Yeah,
like a quiet, soft, like I'm gonna just pet you. Yeah.
Stupid. So the award for this one obviously goes to The Purge. Congratulations, The Purge. I don't know if you'll ever win another award again, but this is going to take us into our next Scare Zone. Another Scare Zone award right back to back. Last year, you may remember the San Francisco Scare Zone was Dead Man's Wharf. And yes, Dead Man's Wharf was quite the exciting Scare Zone. A old decrepit ship had washed up ashore, and there were basically zombie sailors just running around the area, not even running, just moving slowly. And now this year in this area for 27, we have Invasion, which is almost the complete same story.
Yeah.
In a way, a UFO
versus sea people.
A UFO has crashed and is just sitting in the streets of San Francisco.
It crashed on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
So the story's different.
Yeah. All very, very different. And aliens are just wandering the streets, kind of pointing at you, and every now and then they will try to abduct a army person to torture them, and that happens. So, in terms of which Scare Zone would you rather go through to see a lot of nothing happening?
I think it's just personal preference. I like aliens more than pirates. I know they're not pirates, but you know what I mean. I like that. That's the theme. I tend to sci-fi more than that. So,
yeah,
the alien.
For me too, but and you did bring it up. The vessel is on a different side than last year. Last time around, if you were like kind of walking towards Diagon Alley, the boat was on the right and it was completely jutting out in the middle. It just slowed down traffic
It's unfortunate because I think again it's like kind of 2 years in a row where you're like a dud. But the year before that, they had like what was probably the best Scare Zone they've had there, which was the classic monsters with like the drive-in with the movie playing on the screen, like. We need more of that. We need more celebrating history stuff.
But you have to remember with that, there was a lot more room.
That's true.
Construction walls didn't come out far.
Next year.
Yeah.
Next year.
Hopefully. Hopefully it'll return back to being a good scare zone there, because right now it just isn't. But yeah, the fact they moved the UFO to the opposite side of the street, I feel like it opens up the walking path a little bit more, makes it more accessible. And for that reason, I think it would win. So that is another win for Halloween Horror Nights 27. So now we are going to move on to our first show. And that, of course, is Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure.
Well, this year's easily better than last year. You don't even have to. I just think the pop culture references are much more on point and up to date than they were. It felt like last year because it was all Star Wars themed, and it had like Matt. It was Matt, right? Was the character on SNL who was like the emo Darth Vader? Yeah, and so it was like, okay, well, we saw this 9 months ago, you know, like, and it was kind of like they were still going on that. So it was confusing because there was also another Star Wars movie coming out. So it was like, I don't know what you're actually making fun of. And so, and then on top of that, I felt like they missed a lot of the stuff. Like it was a lot of pop culture stuff that I think they wrote, approved in the script, and it didn't hold. A lot of it didn't make it through the year. Whereas this year, you know, they referenced Stranger Things. We're still talking about Stranger Things, you know, it's, you know, Get Out, you know, it's stuff like that. And it's also, cause it's their last year, it's a nice throwback to like classic Bill and Ted too. So
no, I agree with that, and yeah, you're right, easily this year wins in terms of Bill and Ted. Another big aspect of it that is the most I've seen since I've gone, every year they tweak and adjust a little bit week after week after week. It's just part of it. Last year I feel like they really did not look at a lot of the bad moments of the show and try to focus on improving them. They just didn't. They were like, kind of, this is going to be it, and this is what's going to happen. So there wasn't a lot of that variation. Already this year, I just don't think they're taking the bad portions of the show, and I know Rhino and I both agree with this. If you haven't seen the show yet, spoiler for the next like 30 seconds. If you've seen it, you know what we're talking about, but Sean Spicer with a fidget spinner, it's a joke that doesn't really land anytime, but yet they beat it to death. And
because I think they were like, oh, their fidget spits are fidget spinners are holding. Like by the time fidget spinners made it to mainstream, I was even like, I don't know what these are. I don't even get this. Yeah. And they were already like on clearance and stuff. Like, so
yeah,
I thought the cubes were the thing. So.
But and that's like so that's something that I think they should change. Still haven't yet. But then a weird update that happened, I think this week they finally took it out. Part of the whole theme of this year's show is that it's the farewell tour for the Wild Stallions, and they're having a festival for it. And so they make fun of the Epcot Food and Wine Festival with an extraordinarily long name, and they keep changing the name as the show goes on. That has now completely been cut.
Oh no! Out of the why? Show.
I don't know why.
They don't talk about the Comicachella Food and Wine Festival. Oh, weird. Because that's totally a reference to the messed up party they had on that those people were trapped at for the days of that. So that's crazy.
Yeah, that's all been completely weird. Erased now from the show.
I wonder if they got in trouble.
You'll always have to wonder with some of those situations. But I don't think they would get in trouble for that. But then just have a solid pass for something like Moana.
Yeah,
but regardless, HHN27 easily wins with it. It's for Bill and Ted. They are definitely going out on a high this year. It is a great show, one that I've watched every single weekend and will continue catching it every single weekend. So this is going to send us into our next house. I'm not going to skip it this time like I did when we gave our overview a couple weeks ago. Last year, the house right beside Bill and Ted's and Men in Black Alien Attack was, of course, Chance's house, which was Lunatic's Playground 3D, and you won't stand a chance. And this year, we have The Horrors of Blumhouse. So The Horrors of Blumhouse takes us through a very short section on Sinister, then an even shorter section on The Purge, and then wraps up with more Insidious Chapter 4 than you could ever possibly ask for.
And you'll understand the house in January when you're able to see the film.
And then Lunatic's Playground, not a lot better there, but you step inside the asylum that is holding Chance and just basically walk into this nightmare of back and forth between what is actually
what's reality and what's in her dream, what's in her like fever dream or whatever.
Very similar to like when they did Asylum in Wonderland, where you didn't know what was in Alice's head, what was real and what was fake. But this time around with Chance, it was very twisted. And I always hate 3D houses.
I hate 3D houses, and I hated the entrance to the house. I hated the house. I don't like it. It was fine. I don't like Chance. I like the theming better because it felt more like, all right, well, they took a character in the Using, or as Festival of the Deadliest. I'm like, I don't understand how this fits in. Yep. Like, you have one scare zone, I guess. But so I appreciated what they were doing, but I, in a heartbeat, would be like, it was my least favorite house, least favorite experience. So easily Blumhouse.
Yeah, and this is tough because Blumhouse has fallen further and further down my list every time I go through it. Because now, like, at first, Rhino and I were very excited that Purge was kind of kept to the back because it didn't even need to be in there to begin with. They could have thrown in Happy Death Day and gave us a preview of what that was going to be like.
Seriously.
Instead,
she just had, like, the one room, her dorm room, and the pig baby man face come out or something.
Instead, we got The Purge and Sinister. Like, I watched both of the movies to get ready for it, but it's literally three rooms of Sinister, and it's over. And then it's all Insidious, and because so much of the Insidious is Chapter 4, it's just the house isn't resonating with me. I loved it the first time I went through it because I think I hit everything perfectly.
Oh, I went through when you do the Stay and Scream, and you can catch it just right. We went through nobody in front of us, nobody behind us. The problem here was, though, without a line, you walk in because it was still daylight. You walk in so quickly, your eyes can't adjust, so it's really hard without a line, human centipede line in front of you. You can't really make it through the house. So but even then, seeing every single character come out, there were some good scares in there, but I like things that have really like a good, solid, like fun story to it, I guess. And it's very jumbled. You're like, here I am in a new part. And also, I love the Insidious movies so much. So I'm like looking for the stuff I want to see, but it's just really the It's really just the tiptoe through the window. The lipstick demon and the bride are in there for a second, and then
and that's about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, even though it's not a great house this year, and it still beats the awful house that was there last year, so this one goes to
27.
Boars of Blumhouse in 27. So this next one, I can already say this is going to be a solid win for 26. We have right beside the Men in Black Bathrooms, we had last year for HHN26, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre in one of the spring tents back behind that area. And this year, in that same spring tent, we have Hive.
Boo.
And so basically, you're taking an iconic classic horror movie, one of the grittiest ones ever, and beautifully translating that story into a house with plenty of over-the-top large leather faces in there scaring the bejesus out of everyone versus 80s vampires that are just kind of disgusting, almost in a house very similar.
80s. It doesn't even make sense to me because they pump that part up so much, but I'm like, you're just in this house the whole time. Like, nothing about this house says 80s to me. I don't get it.
But you have to go with their own words on that. And I actually went through Hive just last night. And I had a really good go through on that because it was like we were the second group that went into the actual house. So all the scares were just kind of like dedicated on the first four of us all going through. But even then, it's just the house feels so, it's just convoluted.
There's no story to me. Yeah, it's literally just you're in a house that has been turned into a vampire nest. That's the story. And I'm like, I mean, that's fine. For some people, they just want to be scared in a haunted house like that. But like I feel like Universal kind of prides itself on being like, we're storytellers too, and we're bringing you into these movies. Yeah. And so like, even though I understand these aren't movies that they're based on, I still think they've had success. Like, what was the Running one from 2 years ago?
That was Run.
Run. That one was like their original idea, but it told a really comprehensive story. It had a really awesome looking area. It was very scary to me, and it was like The Running Man. And this one just feels, I don't want to say lazy, but just it feels like tried and true.
I would have rather seen them with Hive try to rip off something like The Lost Boys. And go for that look.
Yeah.
And that's maybe, what I was kind of expecting. Maybe there were
vampire hunters in the house or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, I was actually almost expecting something like that. Take everything sexy about vampires, twist it on its head. It's like, okay, well, I could see something similar to that, especially with the 80s theme. But yeah, it doesn't work. Whereas Texas Chainsaw Massacre was an awesome house. It was just pure disgusting. And it's loud
and scary and smelly.
It didn't follow the movie perfectly, but it hit all the points that you would hope, see all the characters that you want to see from it. So yeah, no argument around it. The winner of that house, that spring tent, is clearly HHN26 with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So that will lead us to our next house in the sprung tent next door. Sprung tent. I forget what they're actually called. They're tents, though. Last year for Halloween Horror Nights 26, we had Tomb of the Ancients, which tried to picture something similar to Indiana Jones in terms of the aesthetic, going deep into the jungle and seeing mysterious ancient beings come to life. And this year, for HHN27 in that same exact tent, we have what is probably the standout house of the year so far, and that is Scarecrow the Reaping, which takes us back to the era of the Dust Bowl days, and we are walking through an old and decrepit farm that has been taken over by a bunch of scarecrows, and not just scarecrows, but kind of like scarecrowish zombies come to life with sometimes pig heads, sometimes just scarecrow bodies, lots of weird mutant just craziness going throughout. And for me on this one, the answer is clear. While Tomb of Ancients had a big fan following last year, and a lot of people really appreciated it, loved that it had some interactive effects inside the house and they enjoyed the character design of it, I just never really got on board with it. It was just kind of one of those houses to me. It was dark and
I just prefer scary scarecrows.
Yep. Well, in this, in the Scarecrow this year, it just, it hits everything right. It's that perfect balance in between dark and light in the house. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of scares that are hidden completely in pitch black that just pop out at the last second, but you still get enough light in the house that you can really see the theme. You can see the differences between moving into each different set, whether it's in the house that's falling apart, out on the farm, moving into the silo with all the birds hanging up above you. Like, there's a clear progression through that house, and the scare actors just kill it night after night. Like, they, you know, some of the, there's one section of this house where basically all of the scare actors are hanging outside their scare windows. They're not even back because they know, they're like that confident that all they have to do is move like another inch forward at the right moment and they'll completely freak everyone out. Mm-hmm. And they are just killing it with that house. So 100%, which I think it may be one of the best houses this year, if not the best house, but my vote would go to Halloween Horror Nights 27 and Scarecrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, same.
Same?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. 27 takes another victory. This is starting to get a little lopsided, but that will move us into our next house. And this year, another one of my favorites, even though for goofy reasons, it's not a great house, but that is Ash vs. Evil Dead, taking us through seasons 1 and 2 of the Starz show that is just campy, goofy, fun, and ends with Puppet Ash before ending with Ash Jacksonville.
I love this house. I went to watch the show after this, and I really do enjoy the show quite a bit, coming back in January or February.
Yeah.
Family. But I went through the house. I hadn't seen the show, and now I've watched all the show, and I go through the house, and I like it that much more. And I liked it the first time I went through. I like a house that's like, this reminds me of the Krampus house, like a movie that's got, it's twisted, but it also kind of has a sense of humor to it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it is up against a house that I think was probably the best, if one of either the second best or the best house last year.
So yes, tough. This is a tough one. In that house, of course, is Halloween 2, Hell Comes to Haddonfield, the sequel to the original Halloween maze that was there 2 years before that. And yeah, it's a tough one because Halloween was such a great house. They had to bring Michael Myers back in some way, and they did with a bang with Halloween 2 when focusing on the second part of the whole Halloween story. And you know, it literally picks up right where the first one left off, right back in the house, and then that takes you to the hospital, and then you have to deal with Michael Myers all throughout the hospital. And just another great adaptation of a movie, and it's one where, like, I think watching, going through the house, it makes the movie even more entertaining, because Halloween 2 is a movie, it's good, but it's no Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. And terrible. That's not even that. But my vote, as much as I love Ash vs. Evil Dead, think it's a really fun house. Halloween was just such a great house last year.
Yeah, I'll give it to Halloween because of the effects, the storytelling. Like I said, I like the ones a lot where I go through there. And it only edges Ash out just a little bit because, like, I know this is probably more of what people want from Halloween Horror Nights and stuff like this. I like these twisted, funny houses, so I hope they keep one like this again next year. If Ash was up against really any other house, I probably would have given it to that maybe. But I do also think that the storytelling in Ash is a little all over the place because it moves in and out of the first and second season like very frequently.
Yeah.
So I think you don't have to have watched the show to go through and kind of understand what you're doing, as long as you have an idea of the Evil Dead. But yeah, I'll give it to Halloween.
I agree. So that will take us through our next Scare Zone Award, and that is last year. In the Central Park Scare Zone, we had Lair of the Banshee. Very forgettable. This year, of course, we have the amazing Trick or Treat, based on the movie Trick or Treat. And you get two Sams out there. You get a lot of the characters straight from the movie in there. This isn't even a competition.
No. I think you don't even have to have seen the movie to enjoy this one, because I just love that it's like a classic Halloween scare zone that has a bunch of crazy weirdo trick-or-treaters out there with weird house doors and all this stuff, and like all the pumpkins up. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, no, Trick-or-Treat's one of those ones. They could literally make this scare zone the same exact one every single year, because they've always played with kind of the trick-or-treater idea. Every couple years or so, they would have like a bunch of short little trick-or-treaters running around and use them in other scare zones and stuff. So the concept is always there, and this is just when it's executed perfectly because of the great source material from the movie. So without a doubt, Trick-or-Treat is the better of the scare zones in Central Park between this year and last year. So this takes up to our final award for the shows, and that is last year for HHN26, we had Academy of Villains.
I can't weigh in on these. I haven't seen either of them yet.
You haven't? Well, you've watched the video for last year. You didn't watch it this year at all yet?
No, I want to see it in person.
I just
every time I go, something happens. It's either raining or the stage was destroyed, and they don't want. Now that I know they're definitely not getting their other stage completely repaired, I'm going to watch it now.
Yeah,
but I was waiting for the full show.
Well, then we'll call this one a wash, because I figured you had already seen it. They've been running the show now for. Last week is when they officially started their show that they're going to end it off with for the rest of the year now. So, I feel bad that Irma came and kind of screwed everything up for them. But I don't think overall the show that we're seeing now, last time around with 27, we had a lot of really great moments. Like when we talked about it before, they made use of using the screen and kind of did like shadow projections on there to help tell their story. They did their thing from whatever show they were on. I can't remember if they were America's Got Talent or one of the dance shows. I don't remember which one it was, but they did. That's where they originated the whole singing head doing Bohemian Rhapsody. And they brought that here, got a lot of knife juggling, lots of fun moments like that. It was such a strong show last year. This year, this year they have a painting section, which is...
With a big paintbrush?
Well, it's like, you know how some of the viral videos that have kind of gone around this year, like people sing the national anthem, and while they're singing, they'll do a painting at the same time and then reveal it at the end.
Oh.
That's what's happening.
Do they give it to somebody?
No, they do not. I'm pretty sure they just wash it and then they reuse it again for the next show. But they do painting in 2 minutes or less while he's jumping around and humping the air at points and situations like that. Then they have a contortionist, which I just find vilely disgusting.
I don't like them, because in the end of one of those houses, it's the Roanoke house, the creepy contortionist on the wall. I'm like, I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't. And I hate seeing it when it's really happening.
Like when the clown and it comes out of the safe. Ugh.
No. Then they have a dance-off section where they pit two people up against each other. So overall, I feel like they just chose their A-game for last year's show, and then they had to settle with what they had left with this year with some other things, which it's still a very entertaining show. The dancing is still on point, but last year's show, they brought everything. Yeah. For it, and
it's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, if you don't know if you're going to get invited back, why not do it once and do it right and create a fan base? And then they just got lucky enough to get brought back, and people still love them. So there's that. Now, the next thing we are going to compare the two, put up for the awards, is Scare Zone, the final Scare Zone one, and that is in the Hollywood section. This year, of course, we have Festival of the Deadliest, which is...
Skankville, USA.
Yeah, I mean...
I hate to say it, that's rude, but it's just a lot of what appear to be strippers dancing on poles, but they're dressed like demons. It reminds me of... What did we say? What did I say? Quentin Tarantino's in the movie. Robert Rodriguez made it.
Oh,
about the vampires.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the club they're in.
Yeah, and that would put up against last year's HHN26, we had Vamp 55.
Which was one of my favorite. I think it actually was my favorite Scare Zone last year.
But yeah.
It's just I just love vampire. I love the 50s, and it fits in with Mel's and Hollywood, and I don't know. There were still some like fun photo opportunities there, and I just thought they made better use of their area than the Banshee people did. Oh,
absolutely, they 100% did. So
not the Banshee people. I'm sorry, the festival of the people. Deadliest.
Yeah, no, Van 55 was amazing. It literally, because you take a Hollywood themed scare zone, put it right in Hollywood. That already did most of the trick. But then focusing on that 50s era, playing the 50s music in there, it worked.
I wish they had put the invasion area over here. Oh. I think it would have been way better because it would have been. I think they could have expanded on it maybe a little bit and had the flying saucer, but like had the Men in Black kind of situation. I don't know. It would have been.
I actually really agree with that. I think you're absolutely right. It either there or in New York. Either
one of the two.
Yeah,
and then put. The Festival of the Deadly should have been in that little area. Just give a little two little strippers on the side and then let them go. I don't like that. It makes me feel weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah, especially when you're trying to just take pictures for documentation and it's like...
Well, my other thing is too, and not to like get on this standpoint too, I hate the objectification of women when it's not equally treated for men. I'm not saying I'm against... I am all about getting a hot dude up there in just as little amount of clothes as that woman dancing on a pole. If that were the case, if they were both. But it's just all these women, and I'm like, I don't like this area because it to me, looks like they're trying to create a bad situation. Yeah. And I don't like that. And I don't like people that are perverts, so.
Funny, because you are one of them.
I am a pervert. Yeah. I just said it, though, too. But that's all I'm saying. It lacks the men. I've had this issue with anytime you want to put a woman out there in scantily clad clothes, if you got a man at the same time, I won't complain, but if it's just a woman, I don't like that.
It's a part of the beauty of Bill and Ted, the balance between half-naked women and half-naked men. They bring out the
sexy
men.
And you know, it starts out with the sexy ladies, and these are very in shape, very, very attractive people, and then out come the men, and off their clothes come, and I'm happy.
Yep.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah. So that will take us to our final award for the houses.
This just made me sound so terrible, too. I'm sorry. No. This conversation is going to be like, people are going to be like, I thought Rhino was such a nice person.
No, I think they are going to walk away saying... Wow, Rhino really is about the objectification of everyone, and not just women or men, but everyone.
Yeah.
So, Final House Award last year for Halloween Horror Nights 26 in the Shrek Theater, we had Krampus, based on the film Krampus, which is one of the best horror Christmas films ever created. And then this year we have, obviously... No, not obviously, because I didn't say it yet, but Saw, the Games of Jigsaw, based on the entire Saw series.
A game.
Surprisingly, this is one of the most popular houses this year. I think it's because Saw is just so well known that...
They've had a Saw house before?
They have. They've had a Saw house before. And
I think this was my first experience in one. So I was like, oh, you know, once you start going in, it is creepy. It's creepy because the little Jigsaw comes out and is... Like his little wheel tricycle thing.
No, it's creepy, and it follows the movies pretty well in terms of picking out some of the better contraptions to put in there to showcase.
Billy, not Jigsaw. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
And I think it's a very well done house. I understand why people love it. Who doesn't know Saw? Like, unless you were living under a log for the 7 year span that those movies were out. unless you were living under that log, you know what Saw is. You've heard about it, and they do accurately.
Chances are you've seen at least the first one, so you understand the point.
That being said, Krampus was just it's snowing inside.
Krampus has been one of my favorite things. Period. I'm like you. I love the cross. I love anything that combines those two holidays together. Yeah. I think it's just a nice juxtaposition of something that it starts off our. The latter half, the end of our year, we start off like celebrating fall and cooler weather, and then it's scary and horrifying, followed by the most happy holiday there is. And so, like, when you play with that stuff, I love that. And like you said, especially when we're living in the armpit of America here with humidity and just how hot it gets all year, when you walk into a house and there's snowing and it just, you're like, ah, happy feeling. And then murderer. And then you're like, so it plays with those same types of emotions. Plus, for me, this is like an Ash versus Evil Dead house. Like, it's got it's got a hint of a sense of humor.
Yeah, and that's a lot of where the problems did come in with this house. There wasn't a ton of scary element because, you know, Krampus is what you mainly want to scare you. But if you've seen the movie, Krampus is just like a big part of it, but a small part overall. It's a lot of the other characters were coming after you in this house. And so I don't know if it was as effective as it could have been.
I will say this. I think the Hollywood one was a little bit better just because, like, there you went through the outer part of the house and it had more of the scares involving the side characters as well. Yeah. But I'm not trying to say, like, Hollywood's better than Orlando or anything.
No,
like that.
I saw the video of it. I would say that Orlando's... I think
you said you liked Orlando's better from the video, looking at the video or something, but...
I liked Element. Well, no, that was Halloween specifically that I said I liked ours better than the one, because last year in Hollywood, they went through, like, the mouth of a pumpkin, and then you were inside a pumpkin. Made absolutely no sense to me.
Oh, but, in Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, but for Krampus, I regardless of the opinion between HHN Hollywood or Universal, I think Krampus blended the fun with the scares and the holidays. It's going to win over just the brutality of Saw for me. So that is my choice, Krampus.
That's my choice too.
Okay, and so all of the awards have been given out, and I'm not going to recap over, but I will give the final tally for those not keeping track at home. Halloween Horror Nights 27 received 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 awards.
They didn't bring back the 3D thing, so we can't compare that to anything, in case someone's like, well, they didn't compare the thing from last year, so
there's no VR experience.
There's no thing, yeah.
Yeah. And then in terms of Halloween Horror Nights 26, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 awards. And then we had 3 awards that, 2 that we couldn't agree on, and 1 that was just considered a wash because you haven't seen Academy of Villains yet this year. I know you would pick last year. Regardless, Halloween Horror Nights 27, as of right now, is coming out the victor.
Oh.
But hey, who knows? Maybe things could change. Maybe our opinions could just completely plummet downhill on some of these choices. But I think, regardless, the nice part is knowing that last year there were some great scares. This year there's some great scares. And I'm glad that we still have a little bit left of the Halloween season, because that means there's still more scare moments to come. And then it's just the anticipation for next year, which I'm already excited for.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, I'm always excited. I don't want to look forward to next year yet. I want to look forward to right now.
Oh,
wow. I want to live in the moment, Craig.
Wow, that's freaking bold of you. That's amazing. Well,
we only have so many days left before Halloween season is over, which to me isn't over until Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt, except for the fact that my Christmas stuff goes up the day after Halloween's over. So that's just me, though. That's just me. It's me. But thank you so much, Rhino, for helping me vote on some of these. I know all the people who won Crinos out there are going to be very happy. All the people who didn't win, they're going to try harder next time around. I'm talking about the ones that lost from this year. Next year, they're going to have to try much harder if they want to live up to what's about to come. So thank you to everyone out there who watched and listened to this. I know it was a little bit goofy, like every time we do the Crinos. That's just it. You know, it's when we admit we didn't plan things out well enough, and we're just going to have fun with it. And that's the way the cookie crumbles on this one. So, of course, links to anything you may need, head over to DizUnplugged.com, home of the show notes for this show, all the other shows out here on the Diz Unplugged Podcast Network. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you are subscribed, you comment, hit the thumbs up button, and most importantly, share it with someone that you think might enjoy that. If you're listening to this on iTunes, please go ahead and subscribe, as well as rate and review us. We would really appreciate that as well too. So again, thank you so much to everyone out there for watching and listening to this. We hope you're having a very scary Halloween season, and remember, no resolutions. We'll see you next week.